Begin the current daf and sechta is my cut and daf yitzayin. Begin on the bottom of tezayin and bay. Second one up in the bottom of the yamid. But the gemara continues a related discussion from the previous daf, discussing that of nidui when the tamachacha makes nidui for his own honor. Amar b'tanach b'reider chia ish kfar akli amar b'yakav b'acha amar b'simloi. Amar l'son say it was amar b'tanach amar b'huna. Amar l'son say as amar b'huna lechudei. So either it was b'tanach amar in the name of b'huna, or b'huna himself, or b'yakav b'acha in the name of b'simloi. Be that as a man, as a continuum of Yitzayinim and Aleph, he says, when a student goes and excommunicates someone for his own honor, which we already spoke about this teaching from, on the previous daf, we said that Niduyev Nidui, his excommunication, has halachic standing. The time they learn the Braisa. So if someone excommunicated to the teacher, is excommunicated to the student, if he's excommunicated to the student, is not excommunicated to the teacher. Now, the inference is, when you're excommunicated for the student, that doesn't hold binding for this for the teacher. But halukuli am a menuda. But we see that for everyone else, if the student's doing nidui, it will have a halachic standing as a nidui. Now, lamai, what type of nidui is the student making? Even mil dishmai, if it's regarding heavenly things, regarding that the person that he's excommunicated had violated prohibitory law. Well, then the pasuk says initially, in chachma, there's no wisdom, in tfuna, there's no understanding, in etzah, there's no counsel. Negel Hashem, in regards to Hashem. So if the student had made that nidui, then the teacher should also be beholden to that nidui. El lav, obviously, no, it's l'chveid atzmai. He only did it for his own honor. Oh, well, then the teacher's not responsible and beholden to that, but everyone else is. So we see that when the student does it, even for his own honor, it will have a standing that everyone else has to keep that halach of nidui. Similarly, Amar Yisuf says, Suv Mirabanan, the Talmudic scholar, of a dinol nafshei, could go ahead and follow through on a judgment for himself, where he could tell another person, you are obligated to me this and this. If it's b'meili de psikile, if it's something that's definitive to him and not a situation of doubt. Now the Gemara brings a story related to the halachic status of a Talmid Chacham and Nidui, going the other way. If there's a Talmudic scholar, there's bad rumors, words, reputation going on about him, some beauty says, hey, Chalabit, what should we do? And that is, if Lashamte, if we should excommunicate him, the problem is, the rabbis of his place need him because he's the teacher. Loy Lashamte, if we don't excommunicate him, it's desecrated in the name of heaven, where a person is just getting away with these bad things that he's rumored to have done. So Amalei L'Rabbi B'chana, he said to Rabbi B'chana, Midish Milach Ba, did you hear anything regarding what should be done in such a situation? So Amalei, he said, Hachem Abiyachan, this Rabbi B'chana said, because the lips of the priest, Yishmiru Das, will safeguard the knowledge. The Torah Yivakshmi Pihu, and Torah you should request from his mouth, because he's an angel of Hashem, the Lord of hosts. What does that mean? If the teacher is similar to a malach, an angel of Hashem, then Yivakshmi Pihu, then you should seek Torah from his mouth. But if not, you should not be looking for Torah from his mouth. And this individual, since he has bad rumors about things that he's done, the fact that the rabbis need him because he gives a great shir and he knows a lot of Torah is nothing. Better don't learn from such a person whose conduct is not appropriate. He has to be a Malach Hashem to be a teacher of Torah. So Shamta Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda, based on this teaching, excommunicated him. Now, L'saif Ichlesh Rabbi Yehuda. Ultimately, Rabbi Yehuda became sick. And Asr Rabban al-Lishyula, basically the rabbis came to inquire about him and see how he's doing. For Asa Ihu, and that person, Menuda, the one that was excommunicated by Rabbi Huda, he also came, Nami Bahadai, he came together with the other rabbis. Now, Kadchazi, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda saw that Menuda, the one that he had put in the Chayim, Chayach, he laughed. Amalei, so the Menuda, the one who was excommunicated, said to him, L'mistayecha deshamti laugave, it's not enough that you put that person, meaning referring to himself, in Nidui, Elachuchi, Nami Chayach, you're also going to laugh at me? Amalei said to him, "Labedi doch mechayachna. It's not at you that I'm laughing. El dechazlina lahu am. It's just because when I'm going to go to the next world, bedichadatoi, I'm laughing in a positive way. I'm excited. Dafel legaver kavasach lechanifale. That even such a great person like you, he might have been a great, well known sage. I didn't flatter you. And yes, you deserved it. I put you in chayim. So nach nafshid Rabbi Huda. Ultimately, Rabbi Huda passed away." So Asal Beit Midrash, so that Menuda, the one that was excommunicated by him, came to the Beis HaMedrash. Amalui said to them, Shrili, permit me, undo the nidu that he put me in. So Amalei Rabbanan, the rabbi said to him, Gavra the Chashab Rabbi Yehuda, a distinguished personality like Rabbi Yehuda, like a hacha de l'shulach. We don't have someone of such a great stature. This personality might have been a great Talmudic sage. Who knows? We don't have him to permit you. He's a great personality. He could permit that chayim. So the kamei came in for the Rebbe Yehuda Nesiyah. So I'm living Rabbami. Rebbe Yehuda Nesiyah said to Rabbami, "Puk ayin bedina, go out, check into his case. If it's needed to permit him, then Charlie permit that need." So ayin Rabbami bedina. Rabbami looked into his case, and some of the mishalei he thought that okay, you know, that they should permit him, and in spite of the rumors that were about him. So Amr b'Shmuel ben Nachmeni al Raglav Amas. So b'Shmuel ben Nachmeni got up on his feet and he said, "Umashiv chashal beis Rabbi. If the maidservant of Rabbi's household, the rabbis did not take it lightheaded with the nidui that she put onto someone for a period of 3 years. So Yehuda chaverenu, so our colleague Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, alachas kamav kamav. All the more so, we can't just treat this lightly because he passed away. We can't just permit this talmud chacham and let him come out of the nidui." So Rabbi Zeir said, "Wow, my dekamon, what's going on over here? The asa idna." High sab bevei midrasha. That suddenly this elder, this Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni, he's suddenly in the Beis Medrash in the study. Although kamishnei lasa, many years he hasn't been there in this Beis Medrash. Shema Mano, what we could hear from this is that the reason why this happened, that he happened to have come today to the Beis Medrash, is because lemi baya, because it's not the mazel of this talmud chacham the mishalei that he should be permitted. So leisha early they didn't undo his neder. So nafak, this individual left. Kikabachi ba'azla, he's crying as he's leaving the Beis Medrash. And Asa Zibuda, a bee came along, the Tarki Amase, and it bit that menuda on his male member, which Tosfos says, some explain, as the Gemara is going to tell us shortly, because he was suspected regarding immorality, and therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, it was on that member that engages in those conducts. And they bit him there, v'shachav, and he passed away. Now, Ailu Lama Arta de Chasidi, so they brought him into the cemetery, the cave of the pious ones, because it seems like he was a great personality. V'likiblu. And he wasn't accepted over there because there was a snake that surrounded the cave and didn't open up its mouth, not letting him in. Sa'ilu l'ma'arta didayni, they brought him into the cave of the part of the cemetery that's for the judges, for the heads of the courts, the kiblu, and there he was accepted because as Rashi tells us, chasidim are better than the dayanim, and therefore that's where he was allowed to come in. Now in my time, what's the reason why he was accepted in that of the where the dayanim are? Why was he not pushed away even from that area, because as we see that there was terrible rumors about him, so why was he even accepted over there? Because ultimately, David could have been, he did like a below regarding these bad rumors about what he had done, so it wasn't so bad. Because the Tanakh learned the Breiser below, he says, if someone sees that his incarnation is overpowering him, he should go to a place that they don't recognize him. He should dress and cloak himself with dark clothing. And do what his heart desires, meaning commit the sin. And since no one recognizes him over there, and then it won't be a desecration of God's name out in the open. So since this person, although he committed these sins regarding Arayas, but he did it in this way of trying to, he just didn't have control, and he prevented the Chil Shem Shemayim, so therefore he was accepted into the Beis HaKvaris of the Dayanim. But Rashi brings from Rav Haigoin, what it means that he should do what his heart desires, what it really means to say is, once he's getting dressed in his dark clothing and going to some far place, he says, I guarantee that the person is not going to want to sin, and that's the really intention of Rebbe Loi's teaching. Not that it's carte blanche for someone who feels overpowered, okay, go do it in a discreet way. Now, the Gemara had mentioned that he stood up on his feet and he says, even if the Shivcha Shal Beis Rebbe, we didn't take light for 3 years, for sure that of Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, Shivcha Shal Beis Rebbe Mahi, what was the story with the maidservant of the household of Rebbe? So the Gemara brings the Amsa de Bei Rebbe, the maidservant of Rebbe's household, Chazit El Ugava, saw a certain person, he hit his adult son. So Amr, she said, let that man, the father, be excommunicated, because the Ka'avar Mishum, he's violating what the Pasuk says, that in front of the blind you shouldn't put a stumbling, meaning since your son is older, maybe he's going to rebel against his father, and he's going to cause, the father's causing the son to stumble, because the Tanakh learned the Brisa. When it says, V'lifn the evil is hidden mishal, in front of the blind, don't put a stumbling block, means to say, don't trigger someone that's going to cause him to sin, is B'makla b'nei ha'god l'ha'kazim da'ba. The Pasuk told me, when you hit an adult son, he might go and slap the father, but he's going to cause the son to stumble, and therefore she said, let the father be excommunicated. And for 3 years, they didn't take that lightly to permit that father from that chayrim. Remembering another story that Rosh Lakish, Rosh Lakish was watching an orchard. Along came a person and ate from the figs. Rama Beit Kala, so Rish Lakish started screaming at him. Well, Eshkepe, the man didn't pay attention. Amr Rish Lakish says, Lahava hu gavre b'sham, to let that person be excommunicated. So Malay, so that person said back to Rish Lakish, Adrab, to the contrary. Lahava hu gavre b'sham, that person, meaning Rish Lakish, you should be excommunicated. Because in Mamad is Chayavtilach, if I owe you money, Nidamin is Chayavtilach, do I owe you excommunication? Which, as Tosafot points out, although the Gemara Taha told us in the previous daf that Nidu is generally for monetary cases, but that's, says Taisus, that he should have summoned him to court first. Maybe he'll pay. Additionally, even in court, we had said previously that you first have to warn on a Monday and a Thursday and a Monday. Additionally, Rabbi Natan brings that in that place, the custom was that people would eat from the trees and they would pay. So he didn't even violate even Gezel. So this that you're screaming at me, maybe I owe you money, but not Nidui. So Asla Bei Midrasha, Rish Lakish actually came to the Beis HaMedrash, and Amar Lei, they said to him, yes, Shaloi Nidui, his Nidui is a good claim, you did something wrong to him, that he should excommunicate you, Shalcha in a Nidui, but yours was not appropriate Nidui, because it was inappropriate that you were excommunicating him. So Maitekante, so how does Rish Lakish remedy this? Zilagabei, go to that person, to Lishalach, that he should permit the Nidui that he put you in. On that Rish Lakish said, Lei Danli, I don't know who the man is. So they said to him, fine, Zilgabe Nesia, go to the Nasi, go to the leader of the Jewish people, the Lishlach, that he should permit it, because the Tanakh learned the Braisa. Niduhu of any dem in Niduhu, if someone excommunicated someone and he doesn't know who it was, they excommunicate him, Yelech Etzel Nasi Viatle Niduhi, he should go to the Nasi and he'll permit the Nidah, because he's the leader of all and he has the ability to veto that. Amar Rav Huna, Huna says, Be'usha Eskinu, in the town of Usha, the at one point, the Sanhedrin was over there, they instituted Av Bezdin Shesarach. Similar to what we had mentioned before regarding a Talmid Chacham that had bad rumors about him, if the head of the court, if he soured, if he's going off, they don't excommunicate him. Ella, rather, in the following wording, they tell him, like the Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, he coveted, which either means to say, make yourself like someone who has his head is heavy on him, or it means like, honor yourself. Veshev beveisach and stay in your house. I mean, just don't come out, like a house arrest. But like, we're not putting you in need. We're like, just stay put. Now, if Chazav Sarach, again he sours, then they excommunicate him because of Nechil Hashem, because or else it's going to be a desecration of God's name. Which, still, Upligi the Rish Lakish, that disagrees with Rish Lakish. Because the Amr Rish Lakish, he said, Tamachachem Shesarach, but Tamachachem sours, Imanad Noise Bepes. So we don't publicly excommunicate him. Krishnamak says the Pasuk in Hosea, the Chashalta Yim, you're going to stumble today, the Chosha Gam Novi Imach, and also the prophet's going to stumble with you. Laila, nighttime. What does that mean, nighttime? Kisahu, you should cover it over. Don't disgrace the Talmid Chacham out in public. Kelaila, like nighttime, which is dark and no one sees. That's how you have to treat the Talmid Chacham even when he sours. Continuing on a related vein, Mazutra Chasida, Mazuta the pious one, ki mechayiv tzuvim rabban neshamta, when the Talmid Chacham would be chayiv, would be liable to be excommunicated, bereish mesham nafshei. So first, he would excommunicate himself. Like it's like a sign of honor for the Talmid Chacham, or like Taisus says, because a person is supposed to feel pain when he excommunicates the Talmid Chacham, so first he would put himself into cheirim, or just that he should remember to permit, as the Gemara continues with that narrative, that he would permit it, so a way to remember is if he himself is in cheirim. And then the Gemara says v'hadim mishamet l'didei. So first he would excommunicate himself, and then v'hadim mishamet l'didei. Then he would excommunicate the Talmid Chacham. Now kevet ayel bushpize, when he would come back to his lodgings, then shorile nafshei, he would first permit his own nidui v'hadim shorile l'didei, and then he would permit the cheirim of the Talmid Chacham. Which Tosafot points out, why wouldn't he first permit the Talmid Chacham's nidui? It's because, like the Gemara says in Shavuos, Nabi Dalman Alf, that Yavei Zakev Yechapar L'Chayev, better that the one who's permitting someone else, first he's permitted, he's for a Zakei, and then he would permit the Talmid Chacham's own Shamta. Now, this is based on Omer Rav Gidl Omer Rav, says Talmid Chacham Menadal Atzmai, because the Talmid Chacham could do Nidu to himself, Omev L'Atzmai, and he could do the undoing by himself. Now, Omer Papa, he says, however, Tasely, I should get reward, Delei Shemiti Tuv Merabban Ma'olim, I never excommunicate a Talmid Chacham ever. But then the question is, El Kikom Mechayv Tzuv Merabban Neshamta, but there are situations when the Talmid Chacham is liable to be excommunicated, say, Hecha Avid, so what would he do? So the Gemara, Kihadim Amarava, like what they would do in the West in Eretz Yisrael, the Mimni Anagidid the Tzuv Merabban, that they chose to give lashes to Talmid Chacham, V'loi Mimni Ashamta, and they wouldn't do that of excommunication, where it's preferable to do Malkus than Shamta. And the Gemara clarifies, My Shamta, what's this word Shamta that we're using for excommunication? What is that? What's the root of the word? So Merav, either the word Hashem Misa, or it's actually Shem Misa, that it's the name of death, or there is death. Is like when you excommunicate a person, it's like a type of death. But Shmuel Amar, he says Shemamayi. It's like Shamta is from the word of desolation, that the person is desolated when you excommunicate him. And actually, Mehanya Bei Ki Tichya Betanura. It's so effective, like when you smear fats in the oven, which gets absorbed into the walls of the oven, which never ever comes out. So too, this is an affliction. Whoever is excommunicated, that it really never leaves the person that experience. We're pleased with Shlokish, but that disagrees with Shlokish, who says actually the experience does come out. And a person could heal from it. The Rosh Lakish, like Rosh Lakish says, "Kashem shenechneses b'mesayim ba'arbo u'shmoyne u'varboim u'shmoyne avram." Just like the shamta goes into the person's 248 limbs, kach kashe yitzah. So when it leaves the person, yitzah b'mesayim ba'arbo u'shmoyne avram, it leaves from all 248 limbs. Where do we find this? Kashem nechneses, when it enters into the person. The chesed says the pasuk in Yeshua says, "Vahisa ir cheirim." The city was cheirim, was wiped out. Which chayim begamatri mesayim barba mishmoin haba. The numerical value of chayim ches is 8, resh is 200, mem is 40. It enters into the 248 limbs, which is what a chayim is. It's like a shamta. K'she yaitza, when it comes out, the chesed, like it says, buzzing chavakuk, berreigiz, with the fury, and rachim, with mercy, tiska, will be remembered, which is coming out of the reigiz, which rachim begamatra chavah, the numerical value of the mercy is the same numerical value of 248 as chayrim. So we see that just like it comes in, so too it all leaves. Now Amrav Yisrael, he says, to see how effective shamta is, shadei shamta agunufsa de kalva. Make a shamta, make a chayrim on the tail of a dog, and it will do its own work, meaning the dog will get punished by its tail. Like we see, it's an automatic thing. Because there was such a story that there was a dog that was eating the shoes of the rabbis. They didn't know who was eating up and ruining these shoes. So they made a shamta on whoever's doing it. And the fire took a hold of the tail of the dog and consumed it. Similar, another story that we see that the shamta is an intrinsic thing, not necessarily, it's more metaphysical even than physical. There was a certain strong person, like a strong-armed person, a bully, that was paining a certain Talmudic scholar. So also came to Rav Yisrael, came to Rav Yisrael asking what should he do. So Rav Yisrael said to him, "Zil Shamti, go and excommunicate him." He says, "Mistafin him," and he says, "I'm afraid of him because he's a bully." So Amalei said to him, "Shakila b'sichale." So okay, just write. You don't want to have a face-to-face conversation. Write an excommunication on him. So he says, "I'm going to put up these Pachka villain. I'm going to put up these big posters. He's in Chayim. He's for sure going to come after me." So Amalei says, "So Shakli, take that written Shamta and Achte Bechada. Put it into a jug, as a Ketintum at Beis, meaning stick it into the jug so no one will hear about it. And the Achte Bekivri. And place that jug in the cemetery so no one's even going to find it. Ukribe, and blow into it Alfa Shipure, 1,000 shofar blasts by Arba and Yaimin in 40 days. Azalab al-Hachi, he went and he did this. Pokakada, the jug burst. Umis Alama, and that bully died. Says Gemara, "My Shipure." Why is it called the shofar blast Shipure? Krishna Thronim, and it has the word pay ratio over there because they punished the person through the blast. And my Tavra, what's this that we blow not only a tekiah, the blast, but also Shvarim, which in the Aramaic, that's Tavra, which means the breaking sounds. But why do we blow, besides the tekiah, also a shvarm? This is Tavri Batardam, because it, in other words, the Shamta breaks these mighty homes. It means it subdues these arrogant people. It's kind of like learn the Braisa. Amar Shimon ben Gamliel, he says, "Kamakom shenasach chachamei neim," wherever the sages place their eyes in a way of what's going on over here, which is what the Shamta is a form of that, is either death or poverty, where we see that it's like the Tavra, where it affects in a negative way. Go back to the Halacha of the Mishnah, the opening of this parak of El Megalchet, where we're talking about that these individuals are allowed to, although generally you're not allowed to cut your hair and do laundry on Chol HaMoed, these individuals, including V'anaz V'amitzayra, when they're going mitumasa l'tarase, when the Nazir who is Tameh is coming to his, going back to his Tahara of starting over his Naziris, or the Mitzayra who is Tameh goes from the state of Tumah to his Tahara, they're allowed to go ahead and cut their hair on Chol HaMoed. So, he says the following question. Is this only talking about when they're coming out of their tumah on Yom Tov, which was the first opportunity they had, and therefore they're allowed to cut their hair because they didn't have an opportunity to take a haircut before Yom Tov because they didn't come out of their tumah yet. That's when they could do it. Or maybe even when they had an opportunity before Yom Tov, they just didn't cut their hair before Yom Tov. There's still a lot of cut their hair on Chol HaMoed. So Malay says, Tanina, we learned in the Braisa the answer to the other question. Because the Braisa says as follows, all those individuals that we mentioned that are permitted to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, is b'shalohel and p'nai, only if they didn't have an opportunity, like someone came from overseas, or they didn't have an opportunity before Yom Tov. Ab'lohel and p'nai, assume if they had opportunity, then they're forbidden. But Nazr Mitzayra, the two that we're discussing right now, Avpi Shahoyl and Panay, even though they had an opportunity, Mutarim, they're permitted to take their Kanachal Shemayt. Why? Shalayishu Karban, they say that they should not delay their bringing of their Karbanas by delaying their hair cutting until after Yom Tov, because the Nazr Mitzayra cannot bring their Karbanas until they first cut their hair, as the Pesukim mentioned. So therefore, we don't penalize them by the fact that they didn't take the haircut before Yom Tov, because if a person if they're not going to take the haircut before Yom Tov, and then you're going to say, okay, now they cannot do it on Chol HaMoed, comes out they're going to be delaying their Karbanas, and they're not going to be sacrificing on day 8 as it's supposed to be. And therefore, they said, yes, they could take the haircut even Chol HaMoed, because better we should make the time of their Karbanas earlier and not later. Tanulin Abraisam related Hakoyin v'ha'aval regarding these halachas of taking haircut in Chol HaMoed, the priest and the mourner mutarim begiluach. They're permitted to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara wonders, hi aval hechadami. This is saying that the mourner could get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. What's the case talking about? And why would that be allowed? I mean, the mourner, when he's mourning, is not allowed to take a haircut. That we know. And why would he be allowed to take haircut on Chol HaShemayit? So, Ilei Mishal Chashim Inishal Be'er Be'er, if you're going to say that the Shiva was over, and then day 8, which is day 8 of the 30 days of the Shleishim, was on Erev Yom Tov, so Ibay Lila Gulucha Be'er Be'er, then he should have taken a haircut on Erev Yom Tov, where the Mishnah teaches on, later on, Daf Yud Tesem and Aleph, if someone buries his dead 8 days before the Yom Tov, so Shiva was over, and he was already past, he was already into the, what's called the Shleishim period, so the Shleishim period is nullified once Yom Tov starts, and he's permitted to take a haircut because it's already been one day of the Shleishim already. He was already past the Shiva. Now, this individual, since he did not take a haircut of Erev Yom Tov, so he should not be allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, like any person who was able to take a haircut, and he didn't. So, and we said, the Shleishim is not here anymore. It's already nullifying it. So, although he wouldn't be able to take a haircut, but he's not having the Shleishim, so he'd be able to take a haircut. Elo, rather, what are you going to say? No, Shachal Shemini Shalaylius B'Shabbos Erev Regel. No, the situation like this, meaning during the Shiva, you cannot take a haircut. Once you're in the Shleishim, and it's going to be Yom Tov, it's going to nullify, you'd be allowed to take on day 8. But here, day 8 was Erev Yom Tov, but it was Shabbos. So now it's what's called an Oynes, which is really the theme of all these that are allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaShemayid, who is beyond his control, that he couldn't take a haircut on Erev Yom Tov, which was day 8, because it was Shabbos. Oh, and he couldn't have done before because I was already still in the Shiva, which was on Friday, which was 2 days before Yom Tov. So therefore, he already is allowed to because he was already in the Shleishim and it was already being nullified with Yom Tov, but he couldn't give the Oynes. And Oynes, so then you can take a haircut on Chol HaShemayit. Problem is, says the Gemara, no, he should have taken a haircut on Erev Shabbos, on 2 days before Yom Tov, which was day 7 of the Petira, of the passing of his relative. Why? That's still in the Shiva. Because the Amr of Chizim, Rabin Bashili says, Halacha k'Abashal. The Halacha is like Abashal, that even if it's only 7 days that the person was buried before Yom Tov, even though it goes straight from the Shiva into Yom Tov, that still will nullify the Shleishim period. Now, even more so, Maidim Chacham al-Abashal, even the Chacham who disagree with Abashal, and they require, no, it has to be 8 days before Yom Tov to nullify the Shleishim, they agree that if day 8 of the passing falls out to be on Shabbos, on Erev Yom Tov, which is an Oynes, then they would agree that you could take the haircut on day 7, which is Erev Shabbos. So you see, according to everyone, in this situation, you should have taken the haircut on Thursday, on Friday, which is 2 days before Yom Tov. So how can we understand the case of the mourner who was allowed to, but it was an oynis, and therefore we say that, oh, he could take a haircut on Chol HaShemayit. Says Gemara, Tzricha, no, we need it in the case where Shechal Shevi Shalaylis B'Shabbos, Erev HaRegel. The seventh day, the last day of Shiva, was on Erev Yom Tov, which was on Shabbos. And the Gemara now explains the machlekes between this Braisa and the Halacha of our Mishnah. Tana Bura, the Tana of this Braisa that taught that a mourner could take a haircut on Chol HaShemayit, Sovelok HaAbashal, Hilalik HaAbashal, the Omar, And meaning, Abishal said that all you need to have is 7 days before. The Amid that he says, Miksasim Kekulai. Part of the day is like the whole day. Hence, the Yom Shvi, the seventh day of the Shiva, Oilu Lekan Lekan. It's like the end of the Shiva, and it's the beginning, because the Shleshim is like you need 23 days after the Shiva, which is a total of seven, of the seven plus 23. But the Shleshim period starts, and whatever period you're in, it gets cut off when the Yom Tov. Now, since you already started the Shleshim, even though you're still on day seven, because it's like part of the day was already the end of the seven, and now you continue into the Shleshim, so you should have taken the haircut before the Yom Tov. But, like even the Shabbos, I've born to Shabbos, so honestly, obviously, he couldn't have taken the haircut then. Oh, so you're an oinus if you're allowed to cut your hair on Cholosh HaMait. But Tani Didan, the town of our Mishnah that said that these could take a haircut on Yom Tov, and they didn't mention the case of a mourner, Sabala Kurabanan, they hold like the Rabbanan. That means that they say, Loyamin Miksim Kikulu. We don't say part of the day is like the whole day. Therefore, you need to have finished already a complete Shiva, and only then on the eighth day to be on Erev Yom Tov. So the morning of the Shiva was not finished before the Yom Tov. So therefore, you don't qualify as an anus, as if it was beyond your control, because even if it wasn't Shabbos, you would not have been able to take a haircut on the Erev Yom Tov. So therefore, you cannot take a haircut on Yom Tov because the Shleshim was not cut off, because it never started the Shleshim, but then having been in a state of anus because you weren't done with the Shiva to have started the Shleshim. So that's the machlekes regarding if there's a case of a mourner who was technically able to, but Einus was not able to, and therefore could take a haircut on Chol HaShemayit. That's the machlekes between the Braisa and our Mishnah regarding if you're like Abishol, like Chachamim, regarding if you say Miksem Kekula or not. So that's the case regarding the mourner. The second case of the Braisa, Hai Kain Hechadam, what's the case of the priest, the Kain, that's allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaShemayit? Elim in the Shlim Mishmar to every regal, if it's because his week, which the Kalim would have Mishmaris, would be from Shabbos to Shabbos. And his week stops, which it stops in the middle of Shabbos, that Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov, because the Mishmar always ends on Shabbos. So, if that's the case, that his Mishmar ended on Erev Yom Tov, but it was Shabbos, so he couldn't have taken the haircut then. Oh, so therefore, like it's like an Oinus, because it's Shabbos, so therefore he could take it during Chol HaMoed, but it's not true, he should have taken the haircut Erev Yom Tov. In other words, Erev Shabbos, which is before the Yom Tov, because the Gemara tells us on Daf Yudalam and Aleph that actually the people of the Mishmar, that they're not allowed to take a haircut during the Mishmar, and therefore like we're considering as Zionists, on Thursdays they're allowed to already, because of already preparing for the honor of Shabbos. So the fact that his Mishmar ended on Erev Yom Tov, you're like, oh, Erev Yom Tov, you couldn't take a haircut, and the whole Mishmar couldn't have done, so it's like an Einis, it's not true. You should have taken the Erev Shabbos, because even on Thursday, you could start taking haircuts for the end of the Mishmar, meaning for Shabbos. Says Gemara, no, Lloyd Tzricha, no, we're talking about with the Shalom Mishmar to Beryegel. We're talking about where his Mishmar ended on Yom Tov. So for example, let's say Thursday, which is the first day he could already start taking haircut, but on the previous days of the week he's not allowed to because he's during the Mishmar, because we don't want him to come into a menuvel in a state of disgrace. If Thursday was the first day of Yom Tov, where he can't take a haircut because of Yom Tov, and then a few days later, on Shabbos, when his Mishmar ends, which is the third day of the Yom Tov, that's the case that the Braisa is talking about. And the Gemara explains the machlekes between the Braisa and our Mishnah. Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah, that doesn't say this case of Kohen taking a haircut on Yom Tov, Savra holds, even that nonsense, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah that says, B'shleisha Prak Mashana, and three times during the year, meaning on the Shalda Shugalim, Hayukol HaMashmar Shabbos, all the 24 groups were all equal, B'mod HaRegalim, we're bringing the sacrificial parts of the Yom Tov, U'b'chilik L'chabapanim, dividing the showbreads on Shabbos, if it was during Yom Tov. So it's commanded, L'sholam Mishmar Tebredegaldim, it's like His group did not finish yet on the Yom Tov, meaning he's still doing the Avodah because he's still getting portions of the Imorim of the Yom Tov, so it doesn't finish the whole Yom Tov, and therefore it's like his Mishmah is extending, so of course he cannot take a haircut during Chol HaMoed, because that's like the Mishnah says, that Anshi Mishmer are Asur and Legaleach. So he still has even that technical halacha of being the men of the Mishmer, because throughout the Yom Tov, it's like his Mishmer is continuing, because everyone, it's like everyone's Mishmah on the Shalosh HaGalim. But the Tana of the Braisa says, no, when the Kayan's Mishmah finishes, then Achol HaMoed, since he was Einus, he's allowed to go ahead and take a haircut. Savra, they hold, Avagav the Shaykh Bahanach Mishmah, is he right? Although he technically is like from these global Mishmah on the Yom Tovim, but Mishmar Tei, but his primary Mishmah, which actually the people of the Mishmar, although it was the Yom Tov and everyone was able to, they had certain things that only they could do because it's their Mishmah, Mir Shlimile. That is over for him. and therefore his mishma is over, and therefore he's not bound to the anshi mishma that can't take a haircut, and therefore he is permitted because of the circumstance that he was an einus, that he wasn't able to take a haircut in the previous week because it was his mishma, he's allowed to take a haircut on chalas shemayit. That's the machlekes between the Braisa and our Mishnah. Now, continuing on this theme, turn about in the Braisa, all these that we said that's allowed to take a haircut on chalas shemayit, they're allowed to take a haircut, these same individuals, during the days of mourning. So like we said, that if he's coming back from a long trip, we said, oh, from Medin Siyam, so he could get a haircut. So too, if he came back and he's a mourner, so he's allowed to also take a haircut. Says Gemara Batani, we'll learn the Brais HaSurim, that no, those that are permitted Chol Shemayit are forbidden during the days of mourning. So Rav Chizam, Rav Shila says, not a difficulty. Ki Tanya HaChemutaran, when did the first Brais to say that these individuals who are allowed to take haircuts, are allowed to take haircut during the mourning, is b'shtachfu avalav. We're talking about he has consecutive mournings, where he first was sitting in mourning for one person, and then another close relative right after. That's the type of person that if he came Medin Zayam, was let out of jail, or whatever, that's not just like he's allowed to take haircut, he's allowed to take during the mourning too. Says the Gemara, even shtachbu avalav, if you told me where it was a consecutive mourning, he just finished one shiva and he's going into another one. So my ear, what are you saying, kol elu sh'amar, that we're talking about all these individuals, which are unique individuals that are specific, that they're allowed to, as we said in the opening mission of our parak, to take haircuts on chalas shemayit, I feel like kol ha'manami. Any person, not just someone who's let out of jail, let's say, any person who has consecutive avelis is allowed to go ahead and take the haircut. The Talmud, learn the Braisa. If someone has consecutive mournings one after the other, so if hichpet sari, if his hair is too heavy because he's not taking haircut when he's mourning, so mekel batari, he could lighten his hair with a razor. Umechabes kisus b'mam, he could launder his clothing in water. So what are you saying specifically to these individuals? Everyone. Says Gemara, no ha'idma Allah, we had said regarding that teaching that when you have consecutive mournings, that you could be lenient and you could cut the hair with a razor. Amrav Chizdi says yes, batari specifically with a razor, but v'lemes b'raim, you cannot do it with a scissor. Although we said you could loan your clothing with mayim and water, but you cannot use detergent. That's what the Brice is coming to tell us, but all those that are allowed to anyways cut the hair on chalas shemayit because of the unique circumstances. So such a person, coupled together with the fact that it's been a consecutive mourning, those people, they could cut their hair even with scissors, and they could do laundry even with detergent. That's what we're saying, that's unique about these individuals. So Rav Chizdi says, this tells us from the fact that we learned that if someone has consecutive mourning, he could wash his clothing, he could do laundry. The inference obvious is that a oval, a regular mourner, is also b'tech b'tech, obviously not allowed to go ahead and do laundry. The Gemara continues to learn the b'raisa, a related discussion. Just like we said, opening halacha of our Mishnah of this parak, that people are forbidden to get haircuts on chalas shemayit. So too, you're not allowed to cut your fingernails, you're not allowed cut the nails on chalamayit, that's the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yisi Matz. Rabbi Yisi, however, permits. And another similar machlekes, just like a mourner, we said, is not allowed to get a haircut during his days of mourning. So this says Rabbi Yehuda, a mourner is not allowed to cut his nails in his days of mourning. And here also, Rabbi Yisi Matz, Rabbi Yisi permits. And Amar Ula, it says, Allah Rabbi Yehuda, but Aval. Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda regarding a mourner that he's not allowed to cut his nails. But Allah is like Rabbi Yisi regarding Chol HaMoed, that one is permitted to cut their nails. Shmuel Amar, he says, as you continue to move your Tchasim and Aleph, Allah is like Rabbi Yisi b'mayid uba aval. No, the Allah is like Rabbi Yisi, the lenient interpretation by Chol HaMoed and by a mourner, that one is permitted to cut their nails. Why? Why is he being matter not just by Chol HaMoed but also by a mourner? Because Amar Shmuel, like Shmuel says in general, Allah is like the opinion of the lean interpretation regarding mourning. And since there's two opinions, one saying Aster, one saying Mutter, we're going to go like the lean interpretation, we're going to allow the person to cut their nails, although they can't get a haircut, but they could cut their nails during their period of mourning.